You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It's a daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 6th of March, 2024. Later on Market Day, we'll speak with Luke Larida from Seneca Financial Solutions for the day on the markets, including why the gold spot price hit a record. But let's start with the economy, with GDP expanding 0.2% in the December quarter to be up 1.5% annually. It's slow, but likely means Australia avoided a technical recession. For more, I spoke with Pat Bustamante, an economist at St. George. Pat, first of all, how would you describe the pace of economic growth in Australia?
Well, the economy is clearly slowing, almost to a standstill. We saw today that the economy expanded by just 0.2% at the December quarter. And that's quite weak when you compare it to average or trend growth over economic cycles. A large part of that is because of the consumer. So the household sector in Australia has been under pressure over the last 18 months or so. And it's been hit by three, main drivers, which is squeezing finances. The first one being high inflation, which is eating away at people's purchasing power. Second one being higher interest rates, which is, again, eating away at disposable income and purchasing power. And finally, an increasing tax take on the back of bracket creep. Now, we did see this quarter household income in real terms or purchasing power actually increase. Part of that was due to a strong growth in labour income. But we also saw taxes paid over the quarter go backwards or fall marginally from where they were in the September quarter. And that relates to what happened over COVID and like the temporary low and middle income tax offset, which really impacted growth rates last quarter. And now that's been unwound essentially in the December quarter. And that's why we saw a bit of a payback and some growth in that household disposable income. But it's pretty clear that the household sector is feeling the pinch, and that's why we saw quite subdued growth in household consumption, only growing by 0.1% over the quarter.
So if household consumption's holding back the economy, it's still up 0.2%. What's contributing to it?
So household consumption was quite weak, but that's been partly offset by the business sector. So I'm referring here to business investment. So in response to the large and strong population growth we saw last year, businesses are investing in things like commercial floor space. So we saw, for instance, investment in new buildings go up quite strongly over the quarter, almost 5%. And the other thing we saw was volumes coming out of the mining sector really pick up over the December quarter and also contribute to economic activity in Australia. So the business sector supporting activities and the government is as well. And particularly we saw government consumption, so spending on things like employees and also subsidies. So we know about the electricity subsidies that were paid out by governments and announced last year. So that's also contributing to stronger, activity in the economy. But that's only partly offsetting the weakness that we're seeing in the consumer sector.
How do we compare globally? I know there was talk last week about Australia potentially recording a negative number for this quarter and a possible for the previous quarter and a negative number for the quarter we're in right now, so a technical recession. So it means we've more than likely avoided a technical recession. But in Japan, the UK, they're both in recession. How do we compare?
That's right. They're in a technical recession, which means the level of activity has actually fallen, gone backwards. In Australia's case, it's a bit different. We have actually continued to expand. So the economy continues to grow, although it's really slowed in terms of how quickly it's grown. And it's this quarter, it only grew by 0.2%, which is, it's essentially stalled when it comes to Australia. But we haven't gone backwards. So that's a positive. I guess what really supported activity in Australia over the last year, so growth was 0.2 over the quarter and 1.5 over the year, was that really strong bounce back in net overseas migration. So we had population growth running at about 2.5%, which is quite high compared to history. So that means, bigger population, there are more people spending on essential items such as food, housing, and that's all supporting activity, and it's largely one of the reasons why we've it's allowed us to help avoid a technical recession in Australia. The flip side of that is that the economy has only grown by 1.5%. If population's running at about 2.5%, it means in per capita terms, we've actually gone backwards. And that's why there are households at the moment who are feeling the pinch, particularly those, for instance, that have high mortgages, and they're responding to the high interest rates, and their interest repayments have increased quite significantly, squeezing incomes. So for a lot of those households, it's probably feeling like they're in a technical recession. But in aggregate terms, we've managed to avoid that technical recession, largely on the back of that strong population growth that we saw last year and continue to see running quite strongly.
What does this GDP report say about levels of productivity?
Yeah, so that's I guess if there is one positive takeaway from today's result is that we've seen productivity now rebound for the last two quarters. Indeed, labour productivity has increased by about 1.5% over the last 6 months, which is a strong rebound from the very weak number that we saw last year. And that's a positive because you got to remember productivity measures essentially how much each individual works produces on an hourly basis. And if that's increasing, it means essentially labour costs are coming down. If labour costs are coming down, it means inflationary pressures are coming down. And that's something that the Reserve Bank has been quite concerned about, that labour cost on the back of the subdued or the dismal productivity performance from last year would continue to accelerate and lead into higher, particularly domestic inflation. But that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing actually productivity improve. That's putting downward pressure on labour costs, and we expect to see that put downward pressure on the services inflation going forward, which is a good thing for interest rates and inflation going forward.
And that's a great link. What do you think this report says ultimately about the direction for interest rates? And, you know, we're all talking about a rate cut. When?
Yeah. So I guess this leaves without any shadow of a doubt that the Reserve Bank's done with its hiking cycle now. As I said, the economy's definitely slowed, almost to a standstill. We've seen some of those inflationary pressures, particularly on the services side, which the Reserve Bank's concerned about, dissipate. So that all points to the fact that they're done with this hiking cycle. So in terms of the next move, so we're expecting a cut in September. It just remains to be seen, just based on the Reserve Bank's risk management approach. They'll only start cutting when they feel that inflation will sustainably reach that 2-3% target. And we think at this stage it will be in the month of September. But I mean that can change depending on what happens to the real economy and these inflationary pressures going forward. But at this stage, given where we are in the cycle, we're expecting the next cut to be in September. But I think what today does, and I think it just kind of leaves without any shadow of a doubt that the Reserve Bank is done hiking. The economy has responded. It's slowing. Inflationary pressures are coming down as we all want them to come down. And that, I guess, it opens up for them to think about when the next cut will be or when they move next, which will be down.
That is Pat Bustamante, the economist at St. George.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Let's take a look at the Australian share market now, which did close higher, but only just the S&P ASX 200 at 7,733. That's a rise of 0.12%. For more on the day's market action, including that record high gold spot price, I spoke earlier with Luke Larative, a senior investment advisor at Seneca Financial Solutions. Luke, can we start with the market's reaction to the GDP figures out today and the implications for interest rates?
Sure, Ricardo. The GDP figures were out today, pretty much bang in line with consensus, up 1.5% year on year versus consensus 1.4% year on year. Market has rallied maybe 30 or 40 points since the it came out, but it hasn't been a sort of a sharp, I suppose, jump in the price. On the index, the markets have really been pretty muted, given that it was relatively in line.
In terms of interest rates, what does it mean for the market? And let's put it into the context of global interest rates as well, because we know that the US Fed Chair Jerome Powell will speak later this week. What's the feel and the implication for rates?
always a little bit tricky, but I think he's going to talk, you know, broadly in line with what was said at the January FOMC guidance. I think inflation remains above 2%. They're reticent to sort of give guidance around future rate cuts because I think the markets are going to price that in straight away. Market is kind of already pricing in a June 1st rate cut in the US and two cuts at least before the end of the year, calendar year. So, you know, I think at the moment it shouldn't move markets too much unless he does something sort of out of left field, which I wouldn't put a significant chance of happening on.
So with the market expecting a rate cut around June in the US, how much of that is being factored into that record gold price which we've seen, and what else is influencing it? What's your take on gold at the moment?
Yeah, sure. Look, gold prices are up about 8% calendar year to date, and that's really been on the back of what were pretty hot sort of CPI and PPI numbers out of the US in January. That sort of theme sort of continued over the last couple of months, but it's really the speculation around when the Fed's going to cut, if inflation's going to be hotter than expected, if they're going to knock back and not cut till later in the year, that's driving this appreciation in the gold price. You know, though I do, you know, I think you can be investing in gold, and it certainly does have its place in a portfolio. I kind of prefer the picks and shovels kind of approach where, you know, we're looking at companies that are benefiting from, you know, increased activity in the gold sector, whether that be drilling and exploration or CapEx. I think the likes of ASX-listed IMDEX could do really well on the back of, you know, increasing drill holes, if looking out for doing exploration for gold, and also XRF Scientific, who are the samples and testing for gold when those drill cores come in. So I think more of a picks and shovels approach for investors rather than necessarily trying to play and forecast the gold price.
And where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Look, I actually see the opportunities in profit taking. You know, we've got the banks trading at 5-year highs, and certainly I think there's an opportunity to take some money out of those and recycle that into some more exciting and you know, attractive opportunities that are on the market. I think this changing interest rate environment is going to be beneficial for things like real estate investment trusts and the real estate sector more broadly. So, you know, the way we're playing that is through, you know, the conveyancing technology provider PEXA or a non-bank lender like AFG. But certainly I think that it's a more of a case of finding some profits to take and then looking to, you know, to redeploy those where companies have got better leverage to this changing macroeconomic environment.
That's Luke Larrative there from Seneca Financial Solutions.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.